بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسول الكريم، أما بعد، قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الطهور شطر الإيمان. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said that cleanliness is part of Iman. When we open the books of fiqh and also the books of hadith, we find many books of hadith and generally the fiqh books commence with Kitab al-Tahara, the book of cleanliness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a very beautiful deen in which, wherein you find every aspect of cleanliness is found. Physical purity, spiritual purity, cleansing of the heart also, cleansing of the body also, cleansing of the garments also, and cleansing of things that we use. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uniquely had created water. Allah created water, and from water Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created every living thing. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ. Quran says Allah ta'ala created every living thing from water. And every living thing is sustained by water. Without water, plant life will die. And without water, insan also won't be able to exist. Animals won't be able to exist. We need water. And with this water, Allah Ta'ala made it a means of purification also. Our clothing gets dirty, we wash our clothing with water. We make wudu with water, we make ghusl with water. When we go to the toilet, when we make istinja, we need water. So Allah Ta'ala has created this water and has made it so beneficial. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given us this water, and this water is for purification. Subhanallah, Allah has given us this water. Non-Muslims use it also for purification, for washing and cleaning. And Allah ta'ala gave us also, and Allah gave us for special uses also. When it comes to washing and cleaning also, if you have to ask a non-Muslim, how are you supposed to bath, wash and clean? So they don't have any sunnah. Each person will do it in his way. But in Islam, everything, how to purify our clothing, how to purify our body, how to make wudu, how to take a ghusl, every single aspect has been explained, and not just explained in detail also. So the first thing is Allah Ta'ala gave us the ni'mat of water, and Allah Ta'ala gave us this ni'mat of water to purify. So before we even talk about purification of impurities, we need to talk about water. A few aspects of water. And this itself shows the beauty of our deen. That when it comes to the purifier, the water also, then there are laws pertaining to this water also. Which water is suitable and which water is unsuitable. If a person got a bucket of water, clean and pure, he can use it for ghusl, for wudu, for washing his clothes. Now one drop of urine went in that water. For a Muslim, that entire water now is spoiled. It looks like water, but for a Muslim it's spoiled. He can't use it for wudu, for ghusl, for bathing, for cleansing himself. So there's laws, rules that we understand. So any water that runs from our taps generally, rain water, well water, river water, sea water, water that is in a very big swimming pool, or water that is from a big tank, all of these waters can be used for purification. Flowing water, we need to explain about flowing water, but water that flows, like you see the ocean and rivers and streams that flow, that are flowing. So that water is pure even if impurity gets into it. As long as the impurity cannot be seen, cannot be smelt, that means it hasn't overpowered the water. So generally that doesn't happen. But if in some case we find there's a stream running, there's a river running, so much of impurity went inside there, you can actually smell the impurity in there, you can see the color has changed with the impurity, then a person can't use that flowing water also. But generally flowing water, some blood went inside there, some dung went inside there, then a person can use that flowing water to make wudu, to wash his clothes, to make ghusl, that water is still pure. Someone threw impure water, he threw it in that stream. Impure water, he threw it in the river, then that river, that stream won't become impure. It will still remain pure. Yes, ulama explain, if for example an animal came and it left its droppings right at the edge of the river on this side, you won't go there and make wudu now, make ghusl and wash your clothing. You'll choose another spot where it's clean. But that water is regarded to be clean and pure. But if you have a small amount of water in a small pool, so this is another ruling also. What is a small pool? Anything less than 20.9 square meters. 20.9 square meters. If a pool is less in size than that, then that is regarded to be little water. 20.9 square meters and more. The fuqaha have mentioned in the kitab approximately 5x5. A 5x5 pool, 5x5 meters pool, approximately that size of pool is regarded to be and taken to be ma'a kathir. That means it is in the ruling of the flowing river. So the same rule will apply. One drop of blood went inside, one drop of urine went inside, then it doesn't render that water impure. If it's a big pool, Olympic size for example, for our purposes, quite a large pool, public pool for example, just for example, while we're on the topic, one day while we were in class, so Mufti Sahab was saying that, you know how much of urine is in the public pools, how much of urine, then he said, just to do a survey, so he asked the students, who of you can say that when you went to the public pool, you never urinate in the pool? Put your hands up. Nobody put his hands up. So they're wacky it, right? So he says, you know how much of urine is there? He says, don't advise to use the public pools, right? Because the ruling is, if there's more impurity than purity, although it's smelling very nice with the chemicals there, but there's more impurity than purity, or good percentage of impurity. It's not for a Muslim, it's not something good. Anyway, that's by the way. But we're just talking about normal 5x5, 20.9 square meters approximately. Not actually 5x5, but anyway. So one drop of urine went in there, one drop of blood went inside, then that water will still be pure. The only time it will become impure is when there's so much of overwhelming impurity there that you can see it now, you can smell it, then you say it is impure. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is, now if you have, for example, some water, and if an animal like a dog came and drank from that water, got a bucket of water, the dog drank from it, now the entire water now is impure. Saliva of the dog went inside. Other haram animals also, for example, pigs, khinzir, right? If somehow you got hold of that water, so that entire water now will be impure. If a person is using muddy water, sometimes there was a storm, you know, there's muddy water in the river. A lot of people go camping also. People go on trails, etc. Sometimes they have to make wuzu now. The water is muddy. So if the water is muddy, that doesn't mean it is impure. That can be used for wuzu, and it can be used for ghusl. Now, here there's another point. To remove a najasat, that is a physical impurity. For example, blood, urine, wine, any physical impurity, you can use water, and you can use anything like water. For example, if you use rose water, extract from trees, natural extracts that come out from trees that are thin and flowing just like water. Beshti Zawar mentions also vinegar, for example, thin and flowing. Then that will also do the job of removing an impurity, a physical impurity from, for example, a person's garment. But for wudu and ghusl, then a person can only use water. For wudu and for ghusl, for ritual impurities, a person is only allowed to use water to purify himself. And then there's another aspect also. You get water that has been used for wudu and ghusl, although it's absolutely clean. Say for example, a person had a bucket or something under him, a dish, and he made wudu, and that water was saved. 1 liter, 2 liters of water, he saved it. There's one person I know of, they, in the Eastern Cape, they had drought for many years. Now just recently, 1-2 years maybe, they have lifted the restrictions, because alhamdulillah, one shot Allah Ta'ala just sent the rain, and in a small period of time, the dams were full, etc. But for a very long time, it was very, very low. So they had to conserve, they were being fined if they used a certain amount of water. So they had to conserve. So this brother, he would make, had a dish in his sink, he'd make his wudu there. Even when they used to bath, then he had a dish there in the shower. Whatever water was collected in that, then they would use it, for example, for the toilet, to flush the toilet, or in other uses that they had for that water. Now in Islam, a water that is used for wudu and ghusl, although it's pure, it's clean, there's nothing wrong with it, that water is termed as ma'a musta'mal, used water. Now what it means is, it's used for wudu and ghusl, it can't be used for wudu and ghusl again. A person can't use it to make wudu, and can't use it to make ghusl. You can take that water, you can wash his car. You can take that water, you can feed it to the animals. He can take that water, he can water his garden with it. He can throw it in the garden. No problem. But he can't take that water now and make wuzu again. And he can't take that water and make ghusl again. It's an important masla also. So, any water that's no more considered to be water now. You took water and you added juice to it. Concentrate juice. Now what we call it? It's a whole bucket. Now we added the concentrate juice, 1 liter, and we added it into the bucket. Now we no more refer to it as water, we refer to it as juice. So now the properties of the water has changed, and it became something else in common understanding. But now I took the same bucket of water, and I added some bath salts to it. So now, in common terms, the bath salts is to enhance the water. Some of the old people used to take some Sevlon, just throw it in there, they clean your body, antiseptic. So anything that is added to enhance the water, then that won't change the property or the condition of the water and make it impermissible for wudu and ghusl, you can use it. But if it's made into something else, like we said, for example, juice, then a person can't use that for wudu and he can't use that for ghusl. If a non-Muslim drinks from a certain cup, and we know for sure he hasn't eaten or drunk anything haram, then by him drinking from that, the water won't become impure. Non-Muslim drinks from a cup, the water won't become impure. And obviously if a Muslim drinks from it, it won't become impure. But here there's another masla also. The leftover water of a woman, the leftover water of a woman should not be drunk by a na-mahram, because part of her saliva is in that water, even if it's a small portion of it. A father can drink it, a son can drink it, husband can drink it, but a na-mahram should not be given that water to drink, that's leftover water of a woman. It's a masla. The ulama have written this masla also. If, as we explained, the last masla, which we explained already, if an impurity falls in flowing water like a river or the ocean, then the water will not become impure, not become najis. So these are the basic rulings that pertain to the water. Now let us talk about impurities. If you just imagine in your mind now a flow chart, we're talking about impurities, najasat on the top. So there are two types of impurities. The word is haqiqi and hukmi. Haqiqi in Arabic comes from the word haq. Urdu also same word. It means true impurity. Or in other words, a physical impurity, what everybody understands to be an impurity, blood, urine, stool, that's haqiqi. Then on the other side, we have hukmi, hukam, by the law of Islam, ritual impurity, that is, person is in a state where he needs wudu or in the state where he needs ghusl. We call it hadath-e akbar, hadath-e asghar, minor impurity, major impurity, ritual impurity. So these are two types of impurities in Islam. As for wudu and ghusl, we will discuss that at a later stage, inshaAllah. Now we're talking about this actual physical impurities that a person can see. Sometimes it's not seen also. So the rulings regarding that. So the first thing is, I'll explain it very quickly, is you get two types of impurities that are classified in Islam because of the rulings. One type of impurity is called the heavy impurity, najasat ghaliza, and the other type of impurity is called khafifa, the lighter impurity. Now we find this classification has come to make life easy. Generally, the droppings, urine of humans and many animals, excreta, etc., generally they all fall into the category of what is referred to as the heavy impurity. Wine, blood, all of these fall into the category of heavy impurity. So what is the ruling of a heavy impurity? The heavy impurity is the old 50 cents coin or the 5 rand coin that fits in the palm, about 2-3 centimeters in diameter. That amount, up to that amount, is excused. For example, if there's blood, person slaughtered his qurbani sheep, and for example, just that amount of blood, or less than that, just a very small drop or two, came on his kurta, he read salah, then he says, hey, this drop is here, then his salah is valid. But if it was much more than that, that 5 rand coin, more than 3 centimeters in diameter, quite a large amount, or a lot of drops, but if he adds it, it's more than that, then the salah is not valid. Clothing is not pure, the salah is not valid. Ulama explained that he needs to, even if it's less than that, he needs to wash it off. But for some reason, by chance, if it happened to be one or two drops and he never noticed it, it was in the back of his kurta or something, then his salah will be accepted. But if it was more than that, then it won't be accepted. He will have to, although his wuzu is in order, his ghusl is in order, but one of the conditions for salah is the purity of our clothing, purity of the place we're reading salah. So the clothing wasn't pure, he will have to go and repeat his salah after changing his clothes or washing his clothing. So that is najasate ghalila. Khafifa, if we find that there is a concession, logically it's supposed to be the same. But there are certain animals, because of farming, because of riding, then these things are unavoidable. So to make it easy, for example, the urine of halal animals. You are a livestock farmer. You've got sheep, you've got goats, you've got horses. Now you're standing and they're urinating. And it's splashing on you. Right? Especially bigger animals, cows. You're standing close to them, they're urinating and it's splashing on you. So if this was the rule, it would become very, very difficult for the farmer. So the rule has been slightly relaxed in the sense that now more impurity is allowed to be excused. So what is that amount? They say any part of the body, for example the sleeve, up to one quarter will be excused. If that amount of urine came on the sleeve up to one quarter, just less than a quarter, that is excused. Meaning the salah is accepted. Otherwise he has to go on, if it's more than that, he has to wash it. So any part of the body, one leg or one sleeve of his, so any panel or any part of the body where that impurity, that is called khafifa. So let us just explain and we'll conclude today. There's much more masail that are coming in the section. What impurity is regarded to be ghalidha and what is regarded to be khafifa? So blood, stool, urine and semen of humans, intoxicating drinks, excreta and urine of cats and dogs, the meat, hair, bones and everything else of pigs, the dung of horses, donkeys, mules, cattle, oxen, buffaloes, the droppings of goats and sheep, the excreta of all animals, the droppings of fowls, ducks and wild ducks, the urine of donkeys, mules and all haram animals fall in the category of ghaliza, the 3 centimeter diameter. And what is regarded to be, or they also make a note here that remember, some people feel that the urine of a baby is not impure. Baby is breastfeeding. No, it's okay. It's not okay. Even some people feel the vomit of the baby, if it's a lot of vomit that's coming out, then they feel that that's okay. It's a baby. No, it's not okay. It's also in the category of najasate ghaliza. It's important for the mothers to note this when they want to perform the salah. Then they explain that the excreta of haram birds and urine of halal animals, such as goats, cows, buffaloes, and the urine of horses, all are najasate khafifa, up to 1/4 of that part of the clothing. Then last thing I'll mention and we'll conclude. Many people might know, might not know this. All halal birds, such as pigeons, sparrows, etc., their droppings are pure. Why? The ulama explain why. So you see in the masjid, the pigeons will come, sparrows will come, and they will make their droppings in the masjid. How difficult it will become if, especially in the old days, if we say that those droppings now are impure. So Allah Ta'ala made it such that the droppings of pigeons, sparrows, halal birds, person is walking, standing under the tree, a dropping came. You don't have to stress. Obviously you clean it off, but you doesn't have to stress about it. But to note that this doesn't apply to fowls, ducks and wild ducks. Their excreta and droppings are najasate ghaliva, the heavy type. And they say also just interesting fact and information as part of the Shariat, the urine and stool of bats, are also pure. They also fall into that category. Also, we can understand that bats, you can't control, it's commonly found, and you can't control it also. So their urine and their stool also is pure. Inshallah, we'll continue next week. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah.